Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
Welcome to Georgia Southern Extra. I'm your host, Nathan Dominitz, the sports content editor of the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. We talk about Georgia Southern football, and we record on Tuesday, and it's already been a momentous week. A lot of news this week. Georgia Southern Eagles, they're 1-3 on the season, and on Sunday, head coach Chad Lunsford was fired. And we're going to be talking about all that with our special guest, Andrew Goldstein, the sports director of WSAV-TV. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Anything happen in Georgia Southern land this week? It's been a pretty quiet week, right, Nathan?
I know you've been there because you were to my left as a lot of this happened. Andrew is on the scene along with Connor Del Pret for WSAV. And Andrew, just as for a little background for folks, since this is his first appearance on the Georgia Southern Extra podcast, Andrew, you're from New Jersey?
Yeah, originally from Jersey, went to school at Marquette in Milwaukee, spent a combined 6.5 years in Wisconsin for Milwaukee, 2.5 up north for my first television job. And I've been in Savannah for about 9 months now.
Yeah, and you've seen a lot, but we could talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and you wouldn't mind, right?
Oh, absolutely not. If you would like to just make this a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, I can roll.
Yeah, I don't know how everyone else would feel about it. I'd be fine with it. You could teach me how to say Giannis's last name once and for all. And his brother.
For the record.
Okay, one more time for the sound guy.
Antetokounmpo.
Okay, very nice.
And all he right, there we that go. Too.
Okay, well, everyone, Georgia Southern fired Coach Chad Lunsford on Sunday evening. They lost to Louisiana in their Sun Belt Conference opener on Saturday night at Paulson Stadium, a home game. 28-20 was the final score. It was their third straight loss. Every loss has a story to it. But the accumulation of losses brought him to 28-21 on his first career. This was his fourth full season. And I was just asked on one of our other Savannah Mornings podcasts, was this a surprise? And I wanted to backtrack and say, you know, Chad Lunsford was on the hot seat, quote unquote hot seat, in some national publications before the season. And you would say, well, how can that be? They were 8-5 last season, got 13 games in during the pandemic. They won a bowl game. Handily 38-3 against Louisiana Tech in Louisiana in the New Orleans Bowl in a dominating fashion. They were in every game. They were competitive in every game. They played close, a lot of close games. So what was going wrong? Well, the overall program's direction was the issue, they said. And so he was on the hot seat, if you will, or it was going to be a test of a season. Maybe not four games in, but it was going to be a test to see what Chad Lunsford could make of the program and bring it up to the standard that they expect. And that's where we get, were they competing for Sun Belt Conference championships? And I think that's the nut of it, is that they had a good team last year, sometimes a very good team, but they didn't compete, they didn't win, or really weren't in the hunt after midway through the season for the conference championship. And the Louisianas and Coastal Carolinas, a new face in this, and Appalachian State are competing for conference titles and Georgia Southern is not. So that's where the hot seat comes in, I think. And then we'll talk about off the field. But Andrew, do you kind of see where I'm going with this?
Yes, I do. And obviously the expectations around Georgia Southern are perennially high, right? This is a program that was an FCS power for so long. And even right. though they moved up a classification, they're now in a conference that I think is the premier Group of Five conference. The right. expectations have not changed among the fan base. It's still to compete for conference championships. It's still to, when you play a Power Five team, be competitive at least with most of them. And we could debate how realistic those expectations are on a year-to-year basis now that the college football landscape has so drastically altered and I would argue sort of condensed at the top. But those are the standards. And I think Chad Lunsford said it in his final Monday press conference.
Right.
I don't want to be at a place that expects anything less. I don't want to be at a place where they say mediocrity is good enough. So he understood the standard better than anyone. And it is unfortunate, obviously, that it wasn't met. I think I can speak for you and a lot of other media members when I say that Chad was always incredibly kind to us. You didn't hear a bad word about him from any other area high school coaches, players, etc. It's always regrettable when someone loses their job, but particularly when you get someone who clearly had the impact that Chad Lunsford did. Granted, everything you said was true. The standard is to compete for conference championships, and that straight up wasn't happening at Georgia Southern, and it didn't seem like there was a clear path for it to happen with him there. But it doesn't make the news any easier to swallow for a lot of people around this area.
Yeah, and you're right. He was, if people are concerned about us, he was accommodating to the media. Of course, you see tons of photos on Twitter, Facebook of him with fans, meeting with people before the game, tailgating. You hear stories about him being a man of the people. And then you get you could talk for hours about how the players love him, how he's a player's coach.
Yeah.
So the likability factor, even Jared Binko, the athletic director, who's been on since April 2020, he talked about how they had a good relationship and there's a likability there. But there's also an expectation of meeting a certain standard. And he said everybody is evaluated, all 17 varsity sports, everybody's evaluated on a daily basis, on a game-by-game basis. And he didn't like the way that the program was going. They needed to get back to where they needed to be. And it's hard to do that to someone who's basically been a Georgia Southern guy. I mean, he didn't graduate from Georgia Southern, but he's been with the program for 13 seasons over two different stints. He's done just about everything there except be a coordinator. I mean, he's done everything. As a head coach, he rescued them from this. He was the right man for the job to be the interim coach, got them out of that swoon they had, and then went 10-3 the next season. 10-3 yep. Will keep your job for a while, you would think. Going to three straight bowl games and winning two of them and losing to Liberty was not any shame. That would seem to be a thing to give you some job security. But no, it's not job security if in right here and now the team looks like the lesser team. They didn't look like a team. They didn't look like the better team than Louisiana. Now, Louisiana, no. They played with Louisiana. Last year, I would argue that last year when they played in Lafayette, they felt like they deserved to win the game. And I think even Louisiana would say they got outplayed that day. Of course, Louisiana was down like seven starters, including a star running back, but they had plenty of other talent. Anyway, that day, Georgia Southern probably should have won that game, but didn't. This season, that last Saturday, Louisiana made more plays, made more big plays, especially long passes, and didn't. And Georgia Southern didn't score in the fourth quarter, still won the game.
Yeah, I would like to bring this up, though. Georgia yeah. Southern had more first downs than Louisiana, 23-18, right. More total yards, 453, 378. Time of possession, possessed the ball for roughly five more minutes than Louisiana did. So the stat sheet at least says that Georgia Southern probably should have come out on top. If I gave you the stat sheet and asked you guess the score, you probably would have guessed a touchdown in the other direction. So yeah. No, Georgia Southern still made a few plays that they shouldn't have made. They still got sloppy in the secondary and with penalties at key moments, certainly not disputing anything you're saying. That being said, Georgia Southern definitely did put forth a much better effort against Louisiana than they did against Florida Atlantic or Arkansas.
Yeah. Now, before we get more into the on-the-field stuff, I do want to talk about the off-the-field stuff. And we're going to talk about that when we come back. We're going to take a break because I got to pay some bills, as they say. They say that in the broadcasting business.
Yeah, look, something's got to pay for the takeout after the game. We're going to cook out when we're on deadline. Something's got to put that kind of money in our pocket, Damon.
Don't talk about food right now. But anyway, we're gonna come back with Andrew Goldstein, a sports director of WSAV-TV, right after I plug the best source. Sorry, Andrew. Best source for local news in Savannah. You still come back when we get back from the break. The Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. Want to know the latest on Georgia Southern football, like we're talking about right now, or which high school football team is hot, which is not, in the Coastal Empire? How about the Savannah State Tigers? They're on a good roll right now.
Yeah.
How are they doing as a football team on the Marsh? We have all that and more, including news, features, and opinion columns. If you aren't a subscriber, the time to try us out is now. You can get a full access to our digital content. Right now, I believe the special is $1 for 6 months. That's practically giving away. $1 for 6 months. I think the old special was $1 a month. Still a good deal. for 6 months. So go to savannahnow.com/subscribe now. That's savannahnow.com/subscribe now and sign up to all the digital platforms of Savannah Morning News and savannahnow.com. Now let's get back to Andrew, who has had to listen to me promote, plug a competitor, which is us. So
I will add just two things real quick. One, I read Savannah Morning News, the entire sports section every Sunday. I read everything that was written in the prior week, mostly the high school football stuff, right? Because I'm on Game of the Week, so I don't get to see what's happening all around the area. Y'all do an excellent job at breaking down exactly what happened in the biggest games around Savannah. And secondly, as for the status as competitors, because I get asked about this with regards to the other TV stations.
Oh, there are other TVs.
The way I think about it is you're doing the best job you can for your audience. I'm doing the best job I can for my audience. And there's nothing to say that they can't watch us both or read us both. You can read the morning news and then watch Friday Night Blitz. That's possible. We live in a brave new world nowadays.
I like how you didn't pause before you said, I read the Savannah Morning News. You just went right through. So, yeah, no, Andrew's a reader. Andrew has great depth to his reporting. And also, and so, while we're kind of on a mid-break here, Andrew covers the local scene with this enthusiasm and style. I will say that is not very common. I think, Andrew, you have there's definitely a style to you. And also people can see with your reporting how much you appreciate and love high school sports and local sports, from the Savannah Bananas to the colleges to the high school scene. And with that said, I still can't pay you anything for this podcast.
Yeah, thank you. But I was fishing hard for that compliment, and you did, my friend. So thank you for that.
Okay. I hope we still have listeners after we've been patting each other on the back through technology. Okay, so let's get back to the second half of the show. Okay. We're back with Andrew Goldstein from WSAV. And one of the things that happened on Saturday was the George Southern lost. But on the way to the game, sounds like a bad joke, but there's nothing funny about it. On the way to the game, in the traditional yellow school bus, there's three of them that take the team and coaches, staff to the stadium, and they weave their way through campus and around campus, and people wave, and it's cheering. It's very much a beloved tradition at Georgia Southern. Well, in a 12-second video day, that all may be, will it never be thought of again the same way, because on Saturday, on the way to the game, players were on top of the bus, at least one of the buses. I shouldn't assume anything, but on top of the bus, one of the players, Gavin Adcock, a redshirt senior, so he knows his way around, nose tackle, so he's a big guy. He was standing on top of the bus, basically surfing, if you will, and someone from the street, I assume a Georgia Southern fan, threw him a can. It could have been a beer, could have been a hard seltzer, could have been a Diet Coke, for all I know, but a diet soda. Sorry, no plugs, but anyway, they threw him a beer, and in one motion, maybe the knee-jerk reaction, emphasis on jerk, he shotgun or chugged the beer or beverage and tossed it, kind of like a Stone Cold Steve Austin wrestling move where he smashes the right cans together. That 12-second video went viral. Jared Binko saw it Sunday afternoon after lunch. Chad Lunsford was fired Sunday evening. We got an announcement shortly after 6 p.m. Sunday. How related are those things? The sequence of events tells us all that they're somewhat related. We asked directly at the press conference. He was asked directly, how much did Gavin Adcock's actions, captured on video, riding a moving vehicle, drinking before a game, how much did that figure in? And what did we hear back?
Sure. Well, first of all, before we even get into that, I want to say this. I've done a story with Gavin Adcock before. I've talked to him. He is an aspiring musician. That's kind of how I got to know him. He really is a good guy. I talked to several former players about it, and they say the same thing. This is not someone who is always acting a fool or whatever. He's a good dude who got a little excited and did something that he realizes was stupid, and other players around the program realize was stupid as well. And when I say that, what I mean is you have certain responsibilities to your teammates and to the fans and all that. If you want to go do that at an off-campus party, like, let's not pretend that wasn't happening in Irk Russell's day or wasn't happening in Monken's day. The difference was it wasn't happening when there was still work to be done. I think that's the point that the former players were making, and that's what Gavin realizes now. He's suspended. He apologized. The apology was heartfelt, sincere.
Yes, I want to second that. There was a big apology he put out on Monday. He got suspended. It was announced Monday that he was suspended. He apologized on Twitter. Very well articulated apology.
Yes. So just want to get that out of the way. He's not a bad person or whatever. He's a good dude who did something that he probably wishes he wouldn't have now. Yeah. So that's the first thing. The second thing, as to how much of an impact it had on Chad Lunsford's firing, I'll just say this. They have to pay a buyout for Chad now. They have to pay the rest of his base salary this year and then roughly $800,000 all throughout next year. So that comes out to what? About $1 million. For him to get fired and for Georgia Southern to pay the buyout of $1 million, which is no small thing for a program like Georgia Southern, that tells me that they would have stood to lose more money by keeping him in the next year plus. Now, we know Georgia Southern is trying to get that indoor practice facility off the ground. There is the replacement for Hanner looming.
Convocation Center.
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with realignment and how that's going to affect their future TV deals. No program can ever afford to upset the donors, but especially not Georgia Southern, and especially not right now. I don't have any inside info on this, but what I would guess happened is that video, the outcry among former players, combined with the team not doing so well, threatened the income into the program that Jared Banco really needs to get his projects off the ground. Right. And that is how you make the decision to pay $1 million buyout if the alternative would have cost more than $1 million.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that way. And Jared is a numbers guy. He's worked on the financial side of things. He's big on, he knows about donors and fundraising. He's worked in sports information at the University of Georgia. He's well-rounded. He's also a big sports fan. He's from the same hometown, Watkinsville, I believe, as Gavin Adcock. So it's a small world. And right. You're right. You make several good points. The people have been vocal. The people that weren't fond of Chad Lunsford have been vocal for a while because they have, like say, a vision of the way things are supposed to be. And this is not part of that. You can't a coach who on his watch has this happen. One incident, maybe it was just the tipping point, the straw that broke the camel's back of everything else.
And I will say this. I don't think it would have been as big of a deal, realistically speaking, if Georgia Southern were 4-0. That's right.
Shai Wirtz made that point in one of his tweets.
Shai Wirtz, Georgia Southern quarterback from last year, said that. If they were 4-0, you probably still suspend Gavin, but it's not like the coach is going to get fired for that. It's the video plus the blown coverages in the secondary plus the penalties that all pointed to the same problem and told the same story, which is a lack of discipline, a program that is more concerned with style than substance. Whether or not that's the reality, that is clearly the perception from former players and donors. And when that's the perception, when it comes to that crowd, what else matters?
Yeah, there's all this kind of perspective on things. There's so many intangibles and things pulling. It's a hard decision. That's really the last thing he needed was any player doing something out of control or that shows a lack of control by the program. You throw in, the quarterback situation. You have a rotation of quarterbacks that no head coach would want. Not that he doesn't want those players on his team, but you don't want to go from the presumed starter being suspended for 2 games for academic issues to playing quarterbacks with zero time as the head coach. As a quarterback in college. I think Cam Ransom is the future of the program, especially if they go to a spread offense. He stays with the program. But there's a lot of stuff going on, and you need somebody at the top. And they have in Chad Lunsford, they had a guy that totally understands that, who's articulated about the pressures of the job, who has said after the 8-5 season, that wasn't good enough. Yeah, we won a bowl game. It gives us momentum to next year, but that's not what Georgia Southern is about. And if they had won, and I asked Jared Benko directly, if they had beaten Louisiana, knowing all that we know, if they had beaten Louisiana, would the same thing still have happened? And his answer was, I looked at the whole program in its totality from when I started to everything, including Saturday, and made the decision Sunday. It was adamant in my decision, meaning he didn't have any – he probably had a lot of qualms about firing somebody, especially somebody with that he likes, somebody with a wife and kids, somebody who has to move on with their life, someone who has really settled into Georgia Southern. But he didn't have any qualms about doing what's best for the program. It's a business decision. And when you talked about the future of college football, Georgia Southern needs to be in the discussion as one of those desirable teams to be in the conference, right? You don't want to be hearing that, oh, we want Appalachian State or we want Georgia State. That really stings when you see the another conference would love to have Georgia State, but Georgia Southern, it's not our cup of tea.
Right.
That kind of stings.
And by the way, football is really the only sport where the fate of the entire university hinges on it. If this were happening on soccer team or the softball team or baseball or even baseball, as big as it is at Georgia Southern, I'm not saying it wouldn't matter. It certainly would. But I think they have a little bit of a longer leash to operate on, because when it comes to realignment, nobody is going to add or not add Georgia Southern because their soccer team is good or not good. Football is going to drive the future of the university, and you can't mess around with it. Right. So if you even have a little bit of doubt that the person at the top is the right one to lead them through arguably the most transformative time in college athletics in decades, you got even a little bit of doubt, then you kind of know the decision that has to be made, because you just can't mess around at this point in time.
Yeah, and to support one of your earlier points, they did have issues with the women's soccer coach last year, not this school year, but last year. Now the former coach, yeah. They had serious issues, and that person was let go.
Yes, promptly fired, as should have happened, by the way.
Yeah, and that was totally regardless of wins and losses. Although the win loss record, if I recall correctly, was not good. The softball coach, no scandal as far as I know, but you know, wins and losses, the program wasn't meeting the standard. The women's basketball coach now, Anita Howard, has got the program on the upswing, but the program was kind of mired for years. Women's basketball at Georgia Southern was an afterthought in the conference. Now they're a team to watch, and Anita Howard is doing a lot, a Savannah native, doing a lot of good things. So you have Coach Berg at the on the men's basketball team has a great pedigree. That program could be on the upswing. A lot of stuff going on, but football is the high profile thing that drives everything else. You're right.
And I would like to add, by the way, that the other fall sports at Georgia Southern are going gangbusters right
That's
now.
Right.
Volleyball started off great. Unbeaten in Sun Belt. Women's soccer has played some really exciting ball this year. And I didn't really know this until I started studying Georgia Southern's schedule for men's soccer, but the MAC is a tough place to be for men's soccer. They've got some of the premier programs in the country. So obviously not nearly as big a fish as football is, but if you're looking for good news around Georgia Southern land, all the other fall sports are pretty well positioned right now, I would say.
Yeah, and we need to get to this. It is curious. So Arkansas State is coming to Statesboro 4 p.m. Eastern time, Paulson Stadium. In a normal scheme of things, this would be what should be a winnable game, a way to even up the conference record at 1-1. Arkansas State is 1-3. Their new coach, Butch Jones, has quite a track record. He's probably building something special there. But right now, it's probably a good time to play. I'm not saying that it's an easy game. Arkansas State is dangerous. They score. They will score out of the building. They will put up points. They average, about 33 points? But you got to add before you take a breath, they give up about 42 points.
Yep.
So they give up a ton of yards passing and a ton of yards rushing. You don't see that all the time. Mm-hmm. But I think
they are the Texas Tech of this conference.
Tulsa, they beat them in a high scoring game. They had 660 yards total of offense or something. Now, yeah. Arkansas State.
Clarify, they lost to Tulsa 41-34.
Right. Yeah. Tulsa won. Arkansas State has lost three in a row, just like Georgia Southern. They're 1-3. Now, this is their conference opener. They didn't play them last year, so there's a lot of newness about Arkansas State. But what we know is their special teams are really good. They had a punt and kickoff return. Most of their units on their special teams are good. Punter and kicker are good. quarterback, James Blackman, transfer from Florida State. And this is going to sound eerily familiar to both of us because Florida State transfer comes to Arkansas State playing very well. When Florida Atlantic hosted Georgia Southern earlier this month, it's still September, Miami transfer had the bona fides at Miami, proven starter, comes to FAU. Big difference between FAU of 2020, FAU of 2021 was the quarterback play, and the game wasn't that close. So Arkansas State is dangerous. They got great receivers. They got probably very solid at the quarterback position. They're coming in as a big offense. They've got some key defensive players, even though the defense as a whole has got all holes in it. But what do you think is going to happen? What do you kind of see happening for interim head coach Kevin Whitley and the Georgia Southern Eagles on Saturday?
Well, First of all, there are going to be opportunities to gain yards and put up points against Arkansas State. I don't think anybody can debate that. I think there's going to be a lot of room to run. One thing that you notice about Arkansas State is that they are not big up front. I was listening to the Inside Eagle Nation podcast, and the host made a very good point that I also noticed on film, which is they almost have more 6 to 7 defensive backs as opposed to linebackers.
I heard the same thing, yeah.
They are kind of undersized in that front seven. So if you can get the option figured out, if you can get that offensive line
to that second level.
Yeah, there are a lot of opportunities for second level yards. Now, for Georgia Southern, how incorporated back into the fold is J.D. King? We saw him a little bit last week.
Right.
Do we see Amari Jones at all? And then Gerald Green, can he recapture the magic of last week? I think he was one of the unambiguously positive things in a season that hasn't had a ton of them for the Eagles. He was absolutely phenomenal against Louisiana, going for over 180 yards, 3 touchdowns, both single
career,
games.
Career day.
Yeah. Now, can he do that again? And if he does, do you leave JD or Amari on the side a little bit more and go with him as the primary guy? I think it's an interesting conversation.
Well,
and
I think
Arkansas State's a good chance to test it out.
I think we'll be asking Coach Whitley about, did he go with the hot hand or was he trying to share the load? It's interesting because Gerald Green, because of injuries to JD King last year, major injury, he got to have a breakout game where he had a 69-yard touchdown run, I believe. He was that Gerald Green that we saw Saturday night. But then, Logan Wright and other running backs and Gerald Green, they kind of shared the load, and you didn't have that one guy. You had a bunch of guys that were all very good. So it's a good point you make about what kind of sharing will go on, or do you let Gerald Green get hot, or maybe Logan Wright. He had a good game coming out of the backfield, 86 yards of reception, I think. He's a load. He's a redshirt senior. He knows his way around this league and how to win games. A very productive guy. And you get the ball to him. You get the ball to Gerald Green, speed guy. And maybe Jalen White has the breakout game that people have been waiting for. He really didn't have an opportunity last year. But J.D. King, you kind of might be the missing piece, if he's 100%, if he can go, if he's in football shape, and if he can go, then you're right. Against a defense like this, if they just keep fresh backs coming and Justin Tomlin gets the timing worked out, I think that's something that we've asked about, that's been asked about at press conferences, is the pure triple option, the modern triple option. We really haven't seen it that much. We've seen plays, but they basically been like a double option, if you will. Either the quarterback keeps it or he flips it, but there's not a whole lot of, he's not going to pass it. I don't know. It's just been kind of a limited offense. I'm sure Doug Ruse is working on something.
Yes, I would agree with that. And I think it comes from a lack of continuity. You're constantly shifting out running backs. First, JD isn't available as soon as you would like him to be. Then Amari goes out. Then there's all this uncertainty at the quarterback position where
lots
you have
different
guys already. And now, all of a sudden, that cohesion, which makes the triple option work, gets broken down, and it severely limits what you're able to do. There was always going to be a drop-off with Shy leaving the program just because he was so, so good at it. You're not going to replicate what he gave you in 1 year. You're just not. But I don't think people foresaw it being this steep.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. And Shy Wirtz was a difference maker. I know he didn't get the all-conference awards but he is one of the all-time, statistically certainly one of the all-time quarterbacks at Georgia Southern. And he ended up, you know, leading the team in rushing in any given game he might. But for the season, with J.D. King going down in his seventh game, I believe Shai Wirtz ended up, if not Logan Wright. But, you know, right up there, when your quarterback's your leading rusher, your leading passer, not that they pass a whole lot, but you really rely on that guy to be on that game. And Justin Tomlin had come through solidly as a replacement, but now it's his team. And we can only theorize about if James Graham, the transfer from Georgia Tech, had worked out. That's not even worth the discussion now because it didn't work out. He never played at all before going the transfer portal. So you have Justin Tomlin, quarterback. You got the mystique or the intrigue of Cam Ransom, what he's going to be able to do. And then you've got an interim head coach trying to get everything together in 1 week with all the change, the upheaval, if you will. And then what should be a winnable game at Arkansas State. Of course, special teams will have to be special. The offense, like you said, will have to get the running game going. Maybe throw the ball to a receiver. I said this on Saturday night. They need a go-to receiver. I know that's asking a lot, but they need somebody. You know how certain quarterbacks love a certain tight end? We've seen that in the NFL. I think they need a relationship, a stronger bond. This is my theory, between Justin Tomlin and a go-to receiver. Maybe it was Caleb Hood one game or Logan Wright last game, but somebody that they can get that 7 to 11 yard gain when they need it. And not so much. And it would be nice to be able to throw a ball more than 20 yards. And I'm not being facetious. I'm just saying the other team has seen the weakness in the defensive secondary without Derek Canteen, who I would argue was George Southern's most might be their best player, but certainly the one with the most accolades coming into the season.
Sure.
You lose Derek Canteen, that's no small deal.
No. And by the way, Georgia Southern has yet to create a single turnover through four games.
I was going to say that yeah. We've been trying to get that bit of information in several stories. But when you talk about 55-0 deficit in the third quarter and a huge deficit in the fourth quarter, I think 82-17, it might be the numbers. But they haven't scored in the third quarter. And Georgia Southern's been like a top five program. We're talking Alabama, Georgia Southern, programs like that, probably Clemson, in terms of turnover ratio. Maybe not Clemson, but turnover. The last 5 years before this year, Georgia Southern's been one of the best in the country at the plus margin with turnovers. And you're right, they have zero.
Yeah, one of only two FBS teams to not have turnover. The other is Coastal Carolina, actually, oddly enough.
Maybe they don't need it as badly, though.
Yeah, I think when you have Grayson McCall as quarterback, you get a little leeway there. But yeah, Georgia Southern is going to have to do a couple of things that they haven't done to this point if they want to be competitive down the stretch. Because Arkansas State, for whatever their virtues are, probably one of the easier games remaining on the schedule, because that November slate is brutal. Not to look past what's coming over the next
month. Don't look past.
Yeah. But that being said, if Georgia Southern wants to even hope to contend for a bowl game, if they want to even hope to finish out at 500, you have to get this one, because things don't get much easier.
Yeah, salvage the season. Yeah, we've been saying, and we're not the only one, that this is the as tough a schedule as we've seen in a long time, if not the toughest. And you throw in BYU, you throw in a hot Coastal Carolina team, ranked Coastal Carolina team. You still got Appalachian State on the road.
By the way, I'm really looking forward to the cultural clash of Salt Lake City people in Statesboro. That's going to be entertaining.
I think they'll get along famously. I wouldn't say the same. This has been an issue because of behavior at other programs on national TV. So I think everybody has their bad apples, but on the whole, I think that'll be fine. It's not mullets versus Mormons. I don't know what you want to call it. You come up with a jingle on this one, Andrew.
It might still be mullets versus Mormons. I mean, Gavin Adcock was rocking a pretty good.
Yeah, and I do want to say Gavin Adcock has a lot of stuff going for him. He has been a very colorful and creative presence on the team with his music career, especially in the NIL. This one incident, obviously, was a huge incident with the timing of it, and it's never a good idea to ride a school bus on the top. It's not safe. I don't know. We can talk about that more.
Actually, just one brief point that we didn't address. When that happened, Derek Canteen was already out for the year. Todd Bradley Glenn was unfortunately out for the year. Marcus Watson, Trent out for the year. If you lose your starting nose tackle on top of that because he fell off a school bus, I don't know what the legal liability is there for the program, but I have to imagine it's not zero.
Yeah. Well, I want to update a couple curious things. So Gavin Adcock, according to the Georgia Southern stats, Saturday against Louisiana was his first game played. And he had one assisted tackle for negative yards, actually. So according to the participation stats, he did not play. C.J. Wright is their starting nose tackle, a huge part of the team, big captain. But Gavin Adcock definitely in the rotation. He started four games last year, played in 12, started the bowl game. He also made honor roll last spring of this year, I guess, with a GPA above 3. So a smart guy, good student in school. Bad decision, regrettable decision on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think we probably don't need to harp on it anymore. It's over. Everyone saw it. Consequences were rendered. We move on to Arkansas State.
He's apologized, and he did a good job of apology. Well, with that very uneven talk, we didn't have a lot of good things to say or talk about. Gerald Green was a highlight. Anthony Beck, the punter. Anthony Beck, the second from South Effingham High graduate. Yep. Has been excellent this year. When your punter is excellent, that's great to have. He's a defensive weapon. It flips the field. We'll see. He hopes he doesn't have to punt too much on Saturday night.
Yeah. By the way, Anthony Beck from South Effingham, the kicker, Britton Williams, at least part-time kicker. Alex Rayner has taken a few, but Britton Williams from Richmond Hill. So they keep it in the area for their special teams. And that's kind of cool to see. This area, I think, produces an inordinate number of really good kickers and punters, I've noticed.
Well, yeah, there is.
Over at Ware County, actually, when they visited Benedictine last week, I know it's not technically our area, but our extended area, sort of South Georgia-ish, they got Henry Bates, who is low-key one of the best kickers in the state of Georgia, if not the country, rated 4.5 stars by Coles Kicking. So you go from the low country where I think Hilton Head Prep has a really good one. And when I say really good, I don't mean just really good for high school. I mean getting recruited by D1 colleges.
Yeah.
This is sort of a theme among high schools in our area that they tend to generate these really well-regarded kickers and punters. And Georgia Southern's been able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, yeah. Richmond Hill has an assistant coach and a program with kickers. And Anthony Beck was, even though I went to a different high school, worked with them maybe in the off season. Andrew, we're out of time, and I really want to thank you for taking the time. Andrew's had a busy day already, so he took the time to do this podcast. Again, we're recording on Tuesday. George Southern plays this Saturday, 4 p.m. at Paulson Stadium. They host Arkansas State in a Sun Belt Conference game. We'll be talking about that game and anything else that comes up next week on the podcast. So I really appreciate Andrew for coming on. I appreciate everybody for listening. So we'll thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you. We'll hopefully be seeing you next week. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. See ya.
Thanks, Andrew.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings.